up a number?
20. Wow. 20?
Yeah.
Wow. It's our 20th episode of the BobbyCast. Hello, everyone. Thank you for being here. No guest today, just talking about some stuff. Let me say this. I just saw this article. Did you see me post this on Instagram a minute ago from Rolling Stone?
Yeah.
This is a weird article.
It is.
And there are certain things where I'm like, hey, just so you know, you're coming. Somebody's doing a story about you. Sometimes it's a bad story. Sometimes it's a good story.
They've been good lately.
some of them have, yeah. And so I, this is a weird thing because this is what breeds people going, oh, whatever. But listen, I should stop talking about it because it's actually a really cool thing. Yeah. So one of the best songwriters in town, his name is Lee Miller. He goes by Lee Thomas Miller. I'll give you... He wrote In Color from Jamie Johnson, which ended up winning like Song of the Year a few years back. So there's a whole story about him.
I said, Grandpa, what's this picture here? It's all black and white, and it ain't real clear. Is that you there? He said, yeah, I was 11. Times were tough back in 35. That's me and Uncle Joe just trying to survive a cotton farm and a Great Depression. If it looks like we were scared to death, like a couple of kids just trying to save each other, you should have seen it in color.
So, a fantastic song. One of the writers on the song, he wins like award for songwriter of the year or the song of the year. So I know Lee. Like, Lee is one of the few people in town that I would consider like a real life friend, regardless of the industry. And Rolling Stone does a whole story on Lee, and rightfully so. He's one of the best. And from Rolling Stone is Lee Thomas Miller on Perfect Storm that led to Stapleton Paisley Hits. And then there's a little paragraph on the headline underneath the headline. It said, songwriter tells stories behind songs recorded by Chris Stapleton, Tim McGraw, Brad Paisley, Brothers Osborne, and Bobby Bones. Now, which one doesn't fit of that list? Because I know 100 other artists that have recorded his songs.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, he decided to put me in this list. And I texted him. I was like, dude, which one doesn't fit? Obviously Stapleton. So, but they go through his songs. And so he wrote Perfect Storm with Brad Paisley. There's a big hit for Brad. He wrote a bunch of Brad songs. Like, he's a writing partner of Brad's. He wrote El Camino for Frankie Ballard, which is out now. In this article, he wrote Whiskey and You from Chris Stapleton. I'll play it. So here's this song. Lee also wrote this song. That's the difference. Between Whiskey and you know this one?
Yeah. Good song.
He played this at the CMT. Chris did at the CMT Artist of the Year Awards.
There's a bottle on the dresser by your ring, and it's empty. So right now I don't feel a thing. I'll be hurting when I wake up on the floor, but I'll be over it by noon. That's the difference between whiskey and you.
So he writes that one. There's a crescendo to this story, don't worry. He lists Brothers Osborne, It Ain't My Fault, which he writes with Brothers Osborne, who I really like too, by the way. He has tons of songs. And so he lists writing with me as one of the people. So I'd like to play you a couple of songs. As you know how deep and how great of a songwriter Lee is,
yeah.
The songs that we actually wrote together. A little song by the name of Starbucks.
Rise and shine, it's your friendly reminder to get out of bed. I got the sleepy in my eyes, the foggy in my brain. I know I'm late to work, but I gotta stop along the way. I walk to get my coffee, make my order like a boss. A venti double mocha, I don't care about the cost. I'll take a pumpkin spice, can you make it in a kettle? Then take the drink and shake it up and add some fruity pebbles. There's a tip jar on the counter, I'm about to make it rain. Hey, it's Bobby, I'm not Booby, please stop messing up my name. Starbucks, be filling up my cup. Starbucks, be jacking me up. Starbucks, 10,000 degrees. And yeah, I'll take a Danish, I need something to eat.
As a matter of fact, Lee, and we wrote that song, and Lee came up with the line, and usually you don't remember who came up with what line when you write a song, but I know for a fact Lee came up with the line, hey, it's Bobby, I'm not Booby, please stop messing up my name. Because I don't go to Starbucks to order drinks.
Yeah.
If someone goes, I'm like, hey, yeah, I'll take a something, because I don't drink coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as I play all those great songs, just know that Lee Miller writes goofy stuff. But the one that they talk about in this article, which, by the way, I just saw this article. I was not planning to talk about this. He talks about I Like You. It's a song I wrote about not being able to say I love you. It says, Black River Entertainment, this is from Rolling Stone, signed Bobby Bones to a record deal, and one of my old friends was producing his comedy album. I was asked to come write with him. So, again, it's a blind date. I don't know Bobby. Everybody's trying to meet Bobby, and all the country artists wanted to break their song. But in reality, Bobby just plays what Bobby wants. So Bobby and I get together, and he's immediately very gracious. And we get to know each other. And he said, hey, I've never told a girl I love her. So we write a song making fun of it. He's always been shockingly honest on his show. It's painfully transparent. Songwriting's funny because when you write for artists, you're not creating for your own art. You're helping the artist create their art. And this song sums up his kind of comedy. And listen, we don't even play this song live anymore. I think I will when we do our stand-up comedy tour, because it's mostly a comedy song more than like a let's jam out song. But this is the song he's talking about called I Like You, and Brad Paisley plays the guitar and sings the harmony on it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the song that he's talking about here.
Well, the L word has never been easy for a guy like me. And I've spent a small fortune talking about it in therapy. I've been holding back how I feel in this heart of mine. Girl, now I'm gonna say it out loud for the very first time.
I'm gonna say love.
I love baseball. I love Full House. I even love Nickelback and I love Brussels sprouts. And I love my dog and he loves me. I love Home Alone 1 and 2, but why did they make 3? And I love soup. And I like you.
That's Paisley playing guitar. Anyway,
you're so pretty and your hair, it smells so good.
Is that Pantene?
You put up with me longer than a sweet girl like you should.
I'm really sorry about that.
Honey, me and you's been the best 3 years of my life.
The first year was good, the second year was good, the third year was good.
You know everything about me and this moment, it just feels right.
Try to say love again.
I love cheesecake. I love Friends reruns.
Yeah, well, you get the
point. I love that.
Yeah, you get the point. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I thought that was funny that he mentioned me in the article, and I don't deserve you mentioned the article, and that's nuts. And a little bit like, oh, for sure I'm going to get made fun of because I don't deserve to be in that article. People are going to be like, what? Anyway, there was that. I just posted on Instagram. I couldn't believe that he would put me in that. Dear friend, that's the only reason. That's the only reason. Friendship. Yeah. Friendship bonus there. mention Blue Apron real quick. Listen, if you cook at your place and you hate going to the grocery store and you want fresh ingredients, let me tell you about Blue Apron. Fresh, high-quality ingredients. They come right to your door in a box, and it's a home-cooked meal. But all the ingredients are there, and it's pre-portioned, so you don't have to buy a tub for a pinch. They know when you cook with incredible ingredients, then all it's because of standards they hold their suppliers to, the ranchers and farmers, and that's where it comes from. There's a card that tells you how to make each meal. You can get your first week's meals for free. All right, check out this week's menu. Your first 3 meals for free with free shipping if you go to blueapron.com/Bobby. You have to go to slash Bobby, though. blueapron.com/Bobby. You'll love how good it feels and it tastes. You'll create these meals. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. You're gonna love that. So I went to something I'd always, was against, was kind of getting on the inside of the Nashville music community.
Yeah.
I was an outsider who could just sit outside and not worry about anything happening inside and just do all the crap I wanted to do, and that's it. That's how I've been for the last three years or so. But I decided on the recommendation of a friend that, as a matter of fact, Lee Miller, that songwriter, he was the guy that was like, hey, you should be on this board, because he knows I'm like, I don't want to be an insider. And say, hey, you should be on this board because why not bring your outside perspective to what's happening on the inside? Like, okay, if you think things are moving slowly and if you have a problem at times with how the format's moving, then freaking get in there and make a change. And I'm like, and so he's on the board. He's like, you just do it for a year. And if you just hate it, get out. And if you don't, go in and just make changes. You need to go in and have your voice heard. And so I did that. And I sat in my first meeting yesterday and it was like 3 hours. And then I have another meeting tomorrow, which is like 4 hours. So far there's a lot of hours involved in this thing, but I think it's like a few times a little bit. I feel like a sellout. I'm just gonna be honest with you. I feel like a sellout a little bit because of this. But if I can actually have a voice to make changes, to somewhat contemporize yet preserve, which I think is what I do on the show. I for sure contemporize things, but also I'm huge into keeping what's great about traditional, because there's a place for both. And you know, you get the vocal minorities on every side. Hey, you suck. Hey, this sucks. Don't play this. So it's a weird place for me right now. And so I go back tomorrow. And so I just got to know I get a 4-hour board meeting tomorrow. And it's like it's like songwriters and heads of labels. And
what's it like sitting in that room?
Yesterday I was so sleepy. It was the new member meeting. So there were like 10. I can tell you, like Liz Rose, who wrote Taylor Swift's first two records with Taylor and wrote Girl Crush, is a huge songwriter in town. She was new on the board. Jesse Alexander, who wrote Miley Cyrus, The Climb, and Lee Bryce, I Drive Your Truck, like big songwriter. Yeah. She was sitting beside me. The guy that runs Spotify Country was in there, John Marks. There a lot of like big people, even from public. So I was like, do I even belong? Like, these are like, and I was the youngest one in there, but still, I was like, these are like adults. Well, you know, I felt like the kid. So anyway, if the organization goes down in flames, it's probably my fault. But I feel like I feel like I'm selling out a bit. Anyway, so we're here. I hope you got to listen to Preston on the last one. I felt like the Preston Bobby Cast was good. I didn't want to put an artist on the 20th episode because it's too much pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to hop on and just talk about a few things. What is on your mind, Mike? What do you have over there?
Well, speaking of the Preston thing, you mentioned to him, like, there's a place where you listen to music, like where you sit down and like kind of absorb music.
Yeah.
Like, what is that place for you?
My bed.
Really?
Yeah, because I stay in my room, and I can tell you my house, the bed I've move to the living room a bit. I try to stay an hour a day in my living room, because if not, I just lock myself in my bedroom, and I like my bedroom and I like my bed, but I think it's because I never had a bedroom growing up. So I enjoy having a bedroom. And so no, it's TV on mute, never off, TV on mute, headphones on. And that's where I listen to music. And if it's before the show, cause sometimes I wake up at like 2 and it's like, well, I'm done with the show. Now what do I do?
Yeah.
I'll just go searching for music. Or at night, I'll go searching for music. But I'm going to tell you what sucks. And it's a great suck. Huh, interesting. Is that it's to the point now where everywhere I go, someone's trying to hand me some sort of music.
Yeah.
Never thought it would happen like this. But someone's always trying to be like, hey, will you take this music and listen to it? Hey, because everybody wants me to break it on the radio.
Yeah.
Because I'm the guy that breaks songs. I never was going to be that guy. That was never my goal, to be that guy.
It's happened.
It's not that it just happened. It's just that I really love music.
Yeah.
All kinds of music. And so I was just a guy that would be like, hey, I like this song. Let's play it. And so it's become a thing now. And I try not to make it too big of a thing now, but it's the thing. It's what people know me for being either funny or just terribly unfunny. One of the two, depending on who you're talking to. Or the guy who breaks new music and gives new artists a chance. Even with this Bobby Cast, it was about, and it still is about newer artists or guys that are making it. Mm-hmm. Because I have a lot of big artists that come to me and go, hey, I want to be on the Bobby Cast. And I'm like, it's not what this is about.
Yeah.
come on the radio show. You know, you want to be a big artist, come on the radio show. We'll talk about, you know, that stuff. But I think eventually I'll have some of the big artists in, and the long form stuff is cool because you learn more.
Yeah.
But that's not why I started this. It was to get the stories of the new, the struggling, the finally hit, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Chip was an actor, the songwriter, all of that. It was kind of the surrounding of what you hear on the radio. But for me, when I look for new music, the worst thing you can do too, because I have friends, nah, I have acquaintances or slash kind of buddies, they're artists, and they'll be like, hey, I have new music, will you listen? And I'm like, oh, I don't want to hear any of it, and I won't hear any of it, because they're not wanting me to hear new music to go, you know, I really feel like this is a great project, and it's like, will you listen to it so you can find a song and play it on the radio? And I know that, and I'm not dumb. So it puts me in a weird place. So I don't ever take recommendations. I mean, I can tell you this too. Even my boss, Rod, there's never been a time where he's like, I need you to play this song. He said before to me, hey, there are a couple songs that you can listen to. And if you hate them, great. If you like them, yeah, whatever. But I'm going to stay out of your business of trying to expose new artists or new songs. Because as soon as it becomes any sort of thing that I'm being told to do, or some kind of backhand deal,
yeah,
it just loses all authenticity, and then nobody believes me. So that's what I do. Yeah, did we talk about that on that last one?
I think so. No.
No. No. I mean, when I say we talked about me listening to music in a certain place.
Yeah, about Preston. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yes, that's the answer to that.
Cool. So, like, dude, 2016's been kind of, like, crazy for you.
Oh, is this, like, an actual interview?
Yeah. Is that what we're doing?
Oh, Lord. Go ahead.
I mean, number one book, comedy album, and the radio show is getting even bigger. Mm. Like, what do you see coming
I have no idea.
Next year?
I can tell you this, that what I'm looking forward to next year is, and there's stuff that we, everything is so, like, by the time something happens, you're to the point of you already have four other things that you're really excited about because you've been working on what's starting to happen right now for so long that you're so excited about what's happening in 3 months that what's happening now is cool because it's finally here, but you just started something else that's brand new. It's weird because artists say this all the time. Like, by the time, I think Keith Urban was telling me this, that by the time the album comes out, like, he's been working on it for so long, listened to it for so long, and he's been done with it for 3 months or what. He's already starting on a new album, and he's, like, so excited about this stuff that he's out promoting.
Yeah,
the last thing. And not that he doesn't love it, but it's a weird process. For me, and we haven't announced it yet, but I'll be doing a full stand-up comedy tour January through April, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it is. And for me, I think I have the coolest opener. I don't even want to call him an opener, but, I mean, they'll be opening for me. But it's music, because some comics will bring comics. I love music so much. I like to bring and expose music and artists. So I actually be bringing two people. One, Nikita Carmen will be coming out with me, who's fantastic. And she just celebrated a year of being in Nashville. She moved here from Australia and is a great songwriter. But I can't say who the other person is, but it's one of my favorites. And they're going to come out and do every show and, cool, and play before I go on. But for me, that's what I'm looking forward to most is the stand-up comedy tour and doing theaters. And, you know, with The Raging Idiot, it's been nuts. And the Million Dollar Show is going to be so much fun at the Ryman. And that's really the last thing for a while. I mean, Eddie and I aren't breaking up, but we're kind of going, I just have a ceiling on singing.
Yeah.
The stand-up comedy stuff is fun for me, and I'm getting better at it. And I just see that there's a big light way up high that I continue to, like, reach for. And I watch other comics, and I'm just so motivated and inspired by them. And I know I'll never be as good as these guys that I see, but I'm like, man, I can get better at this. I can get better at this. And the more I go out and the more I work this stuff, and sometimes I don't tell people I'm going out and working this stuff, it's like, man, I love failing. Like, I love when something doesn't work because then when something does, it's like I worked hard to make that work.
Yeah.
So that's exciting for me. So I'm doing a full stand-up comedy tour, which you haven't announced yet. They may kill me for saying it, but I've said nothing else about it. We've already done the photo shoot for it. We got the opening act. It's doing every show with us. Oh, and the opening act, like, I'm so excited about it, and I can't say who it is yet, but that's it. So there's that. That's what I'm excited about. The book will come out in paperback, too, next year.
Oh, yeah.
Writing a kid's book. And then, I don't know, they hit me up about another adult book because the first book did so well, which is still weird because I remember taking that first book and sending it off to, like, two people that I really trust. And I was like, man, is this thing even, I mean, any good? I was so worried that book was awful. The Bare Bones.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I have two books. The only book I've ever written. I was so worried that the book was really bad because I know what I'm pretty good at. That's going on the radio because I've been doing it for 17, 30, almost 20 years. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's crazy. I know I'm pretty good at that because I've been doing it for a long time and I've been able to move up. I never written a book. And I was like, I don't know if anybody cares. So I sent the book off and they were like, it's actually not bad. It's pretty good. And I was so nervous that it was going to suck. And I felt like it sucked. I never wanted to read it back. But so they're asking me about writing, and I got an email yesterday like, hey, you think you're writing another adult book? And I was like, adult book sounds like a porn book.
Yeah.
And no, I especially don't have another memoir in me. Like, I think, yeah, right now. I didn't have one in me to begin with. I was 34 when they approached me. I had nothing. I mean, there's that book of my life, but a lot of that's like a struggle at the beginning for people who've had to deal with family members that have addiction. And, you know, that was a big part of it. And I wouldn't go through that in a second book. So I was like, I really haven't. But if you're looking for something like a bunch of funny essays, we could talk. But I don't know, man. That book thing is just, it is so, first of all, it's awesome. And I appreciate everybody who bought the book because I thought it sucked. So I'm just like, blown away the fact that it was on the New York Times bestseller list for 3 weeks. For 1 week, I was shocked. And then after that, I was just like, this is not even real life. Like, I don't even know what's happening here. I'm really looking forward to the comedy tour. And the radio show is the most fun thing still. I hate that. Right now, you're listening to this. Amy's not here. It's weird when Amy's not here. So I'm ready for her to get back and have her kids. That'll make her happy. And the better Amy is, the better I am. So, the growth of the radio show has been crazy. Even in the cities, like, I was talking to Rod, my boss, and he was like, dude, of these X of the big markets that you have, you've never had bigger ratings of like 8 of 11 or 8 of 12 of the biggest markets, you know, the Bostons, the major cities, mm-hmm. than you have right now. And I was like, dang, that's cool. But then it's 10 minutes later. All right, you're not doing so well over in this market. But the weird thing is about the radio show is that we're in about 100 cities, and it's, you know, if you can get 70 of them up, 30 of them are going to be down. And it's like, okay, we have 30 that are down. We got to get the 30 that are down up. And so while you're fighting to get these other 30 up, you have random ones falling over. It's just never, you're never going to have 100 go up at the same time. And so the pressure never comes off of, hey, you suck. And it's never you suck. It's like, hey, it's not going so hot here. What do we do to make it better here? But that's the business of this. That's the beast of it. But I love it. Like, the radio show is still my favorite thing. Stand-up comedy second. But we're kind of rolling through the Raging Idiots thing. And listen, we've had two number one records. We suck. We don't suck. I'm going to say this about the Idiots. We've gotten pretty good. We have a fantastic band. And now I know how to do a show. We put on a really good show. Now, listen, I'm not going to win Vocalist of the Year, but we put on a really good show now because I've learned how to put on a good show. And I do not have lead singer's disease, which means you have to lead singer all the time, be the guy up front. I have no problem with stepping back for half the show. And just, you just never know where it's coming from at a Raging Idiot show. You don't know who's coming with what, where. I got background singers flying out front. It's fun. So, yeah, I don't know if that's the answer, but go ahead.
What's the best part of having a girlfriend now?
The best part about having a girlfriend. The best part. You know what I'm worried about? and I know Lindsay's going to hear this, is that she's going to be like, hey, come to Canada for the holidays.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, ooh, it's not even a her thing. I don't feel comfortable. I've never been a holidays person because I never really had family.
Yeah.
So for me, the holidays are not a sad time. They just don't exist for me, especially Christmas time. Like, it just doesn't exist. As far as a joyous occasion, it's not a sad occasion. It's just not a joyous occasion to me. It's just another day because I never really had Christmas growing up. So she's going to say, you should come to Canada and come hang out with my family. But I feel like such a nuisance. And I don't feel comfortable I don't know. It's a weird thing. As I say that, the best part is having someone that really wants you to be happy and like fights you about being happy. And the example I gave when I think she was in here a couple weeks ago was when the Cubs lost game 4, I was really irritated and upset, and she wouldn't leave me alone. It was so annoying. She was just like, okay, you have to understand where you are right now. You're at the World Series. Like, you've worked hard to get here. The Cubs have not been here. And the best part is having someone who wants you to be happy. And for sure she wants that. Like, but, she'd, you know, that's the answer. But I only come to that after talking about the first thing where I know she's not going to be happy when I'm like, I just don't. It's not a her thing. And her family's awesome. Over the last couple years, I've gotten to know them.
Yeah.
Her parents and her brother, and they're great. But it's just, I don't associate Christmas with that, with joyous and fun. And then I always feel, even if I, like, Lindsay and I are going to a dinner tonight. I don't know where she is. I don't know if she may be here. But we're going to a dinner tonight. And I never go to dinners because I feel like, one, I'm like intruding in someone's house. Two, I don't really have that many friends that I would consider like close. I don't think I've been to a dinner since I moved to Nashville at someone's house. Period. And I don't know if that's weird or not. I haven't been at all. And so we're going tonight. And only because she's like, you need to do things like this. So a little bit too, it's like, you know, she's kind of branching me out there. And making me more of a human. I'm just an ordinary human.
How do you feel about the actual part of going to Canada, though?
I don't care. I mean, dude, here's the thing. I went to Iceland. I went to Japan. I went to England. This is all in the last 2 years because I never traveled my whole life. I never left Arkansas until a certain point. Then I never left the South. And it's just been a gradual thing. And it got to a point where it's like, if I don't travel a little bit and get uncomfortable, I'm never going to do it. So I just started doing it. And then, I hate cold.
Yeah.
Like, I hate the cold. Like, it's terrible. I hate winter. So I think I have no problem just going to Canada. Maybe I go to Canada by myself while they have Christmas and just go explore by myself. But I think that'll probably be a source of contention where she's like, you have to come. Stop being so sad and mopey. We'll see what happens. But yeah.
What do you think about everybody trying to move to Canada now?
Nobody's moving to Canada.
I mean, did you see the site supposedly crashed?
Yeah, last night when you're hearing this. So the election happened, right? And you know, the girl from Girls, Lena Dunham, whatever her name is,
yeah.
Bryan Cranston. I hate when people say, if this doesn't happen, I'm moving to Canada, because nobody ever does. Like, you want to impress me right now? Move to Canada. Regardless of your political beliefs, if you say something, do it.
And Canada's hard to get into, like, even just visiting Canada sometimes.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't been.
I don't know if you can just move there.
You know what? I don't know. But if any of them move, I will have a ton of respect for them. Because they backed up what they said.
Yeah.
And listen, people got mad at me for writing in Dirk Bentley, my presidential ballot.
Yeah.
And I just did not have a dog in that dog race. And so I didn't feel comfortable voting for either one. And I had some other stuff I wanted to vote on. And they put the write-in line there for a reason. If you feel like you should write someone else in. People on Twitter are just... Most of the time, I just brush it off. Sometimes I get in a little pops to people. And like, you are such an awful person for abusing the system. I was like, then why would they put the line there if you can't write in? That monkey, the gorilla, Henry, oh, yeah. He got 11,000 votes. So don't put the line there if you don't want people to use it. I used it. I wrote in Dirk Bentley. Just because I want, really, I wasn't going to vote in the presidential election anyway. I was just going to vote in a couple other things. But really, I just wanted a TV to pop up and go, we have this much for Trump. Because you knew Trump was going to win Tennessee anyway, where I am.
Yeah.
And then we have this much for Hillary. And, you know, Jill Stein has this. Governor Gary Johnson has this. And Dirk Bentley has a vote. So I kind of wanted that to pop up. That was the goal, to pop up on TV. But it didn't count because you have to register 50 days out to even be a write-in candidate. But people can shut up. So, I mean, that kind of stuff, whatever. Whatever. I rarely get irritated at Twitter. Sometimes, like Travis Tritt and I went back and forth. And I love Travis Tritt's music. And I have no problem with Travis Tritt. Like, he has kind of a reputation of being a dick. I don't know that. So, to me, he's not. He was coming on the show in a few weeks. Mm-hmm. And we'd already booked him because he has a greatest hits thing coming out. And he was posting about Beyonce at the CMAs. And I knew what was going to happen. As a white guy from the South, if you start people are going to go, hey, this is a race thing. And so I posted and I was like, dude, stop. I said, stop it. That's what I wrote on it. Just stop it. And then it turned into, I've played with lots of black artists. And I was like, oh, my God, that's what you don't say. And so I think his tweet was, look it up. I've played with more black artists than anybody or something like that. Yeah. And I retweeted it and was like, just looked it up. There's no archive of people who've played with black artists.
It's not a Wikipedia page.
There isn't. And so, you know, there's just the race stuff to me is crazy. It just isn't a place you should go. And it's a very sensitive thing. And if you're passionate about it, go there. If you're just gonna throw a joke out there, it's not worth it. Yeah. That just wasn't worth it. And so he got mad at me, and I was like, dude, you know, chill out. Don't make you know who says I got a black friend? The person who probably really doesn't have black friends. No, dude, I got a black friend. And that's the person who really probably doesn't have that many. Anyway, I don't even know what you asked me.
What food do you miss the most since your food sensitivity test?
Oh, this allergy test thing that I took. So I took a allergy food test with blood. I eat sweet potatoes all the time. I'm eliminated from sweet potatoes and tuna. And I don't know if I miss anything. But the sweet potatoes were kind of a big part of my diet. But I just haven't been getting rest. I'm down to one. I weighed today. I was at 159. And usually I'm around, sometimes I'm close to 170, like if I'm really lifting hard. But if I'm staying thin, because I was doing a lot of the TV work, I'm around 165, 164. But I'm like 159, 158 right now. And so I kind of got a lecture today from, I was supposed to drink a freaking protein shake before dinner. But I got a lecture from my trainer. It was like, you have to eat. And so you just have to have if I don't have, like a tight stomach, I feel like I'm just bleh. So that's, I got to get that back. Everybody always looks at your gut. That's where everybody looks, at your gut. So I'm trying to work that gut down. Well, anything else? I don't even know what we're talking about here.
We're about 30 minutes in.
I don't know that there's 30 minutes. I think I have to go to dinner anyway. Anything? Do you have any other questions over there? It seems like you've come up with some stuff. You know what Lindsay did? She went on stage and she...
That's what I was going to ask about.
This past weekend in Austin. I didn't know she was doing this. I think I mentioned this on the air or even here.
You mentioned
this
on the air, yeah.
Did I?
You didn't. I don't think you said the song, but you did mention that she...
And this is a different song than the one that we talked about in the last one that she sent me. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. This is a different one. But she goes out... And she's playing her opening set because she opens for us. Mm-hmm. And we booked all these shows months ago. Before we dated, I was booking Lindsay to open for us and play in the band. And Nikita, the girl I was talking about earlier, who plays in the Raging Idiots from Australia, she comes and she goes, Lindsay just said you wrote Criminal. She wrote Criminal about you. And I was like, she told you that? And she was like, no, she said it on stage.
She told everybody.
And I was like, she told 4,000 people? And she was like, yeah. And so she wrote this song called Criminal. And so she went on stage and she sang it. She's like, yeah, I wrote this about Bobby, blah, blah. And it's awesome, but I just was not expecting that.
Feeling like a teenage crush. You're the rush. You're the habit I can never get enough of. And boy, what you do to me is criminal. Baby, when I look in those eyes, I feel like blowing through stoplights, looking at the cops like I got nothing to lose. And boy, got me burning like a matchstick, taken to the edge in a one step power step. It ain't right, it ain't typical. Oh, what you do to me is criminal.
That's a live performance of hers there.
I have the right to remain silent, but there ain't no way that I can. Cause I am wired like a ticking time bomb. It's so wrong, but it feels right.
She's supposed to come pick me up in a minute, or I'm going to pick her up, or we're going to leave in my car, but we're supposed to go to dinner in a few minutes as well. But my house, instead of long, it's just tall. So she could be downstairs, and I have no idea. I'll FaceTime her and see where she is. Are you here?
Yes.
You can come up. We're in the middle of recording the Bobbycast.
Like right now?
Yeah, we're recording right now. You can come up for a minute.
Okay, I'm just finishing a call. I'll be up in a minute.
Okay, well, we're going to like shut it down in a minute, so if you want to get in on it.
I'm coming.
All right, goodbye. All right, just finishing a call. Then she'll be in. Anything else you want to know, Mike?
Did you go back and like look at those lyrics?
No. No.
Because I went back and tried to, like, I don't know. I just thought it was
interesting. Listen, I know. I just am surprised she said that. I'll let her say stuff. And she won't say it today, but
okay.
There are just things, even things that, I've written. Whatever. I don't want to be cryptic. Dusty is in the guest chair. Chill. I looked for him the other day, and I couldn't find him anywhere in the house. And he was in this chair that I'm sitting behind a computer, just chilling. Come in.
Hi.
Are you playing music?
What?
Are you playing music on your phone?
Yeah.
Here, come in. We're gonna wrap up in a minute, but what are you doing?
I was just talking to.
You're on the air, so.
Hello.
Well, I mean, not the air, but you're on the podcast. We were just talking about it because Mike brought up the fact. You can put the headphones on real quick. By the way, Lindsay L is here. This doesn't count as a guest appearance. But he asked me what, and I'm sure you'll hear this all back, so there's no reason to go back. Do you listen to all these?
I do listen to all these. I would be a terrible girlfriend if I didn't.
That's not true.
Well, I feel like, I listened to the Preston one late last night. I loved the story.
He's good,
like,
huh?
Like the Keith story when he talks about like cutting She's Gonna Fly, was it?
Yeah.
That's insane, and it was insane how he met Chris Jansen. Like, I didn't know they went back as far as they did.
Chris Jansen or Chris's partner?
Yes, Chris as his partner, like his of the duo. But I mean Chris Jansen, like how they met at the Wild Horse and how...
I think that's Chris's partner you're thinking of.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Chris's partner was the one that was Chris from Low Cash.
Totally missed that. It was late when I listened to it.
Yeah.
Okay, but regardless... How either one of them met Jansen at the Wild Horse when Jansen was the DJ and they were teaching dance.
I don't think Jansen was at the Wild Horse.
That was Chris.
No, it was Chris's partner.
Chris Jansen has nothing to do with it. Yeah. Sorry, Preston.
Are you sure you listened and just didn't hear my notes when I was telling? I was like,
no, I listened to the whole thing. I guess I mixed up Chris with Chris.
That's not a very good girlfriend.
Well, I did listen to it.
We were just talking about this.
Crush, you're the rush. You're the habit I can never get enough of.
What about this?
He asked me. He was like, "Hey, Lindsay went on stage and said she wrote that song about you."
Yeah.
And I was like, "I had no idea. I didn't hear you play it. I was getting dressed for our show, and then Nikita came in. I was like, Lindsay told me you played that, and I was like, she told you. She told everybody on stage, 4,000 people. Anything you want to add to that?
True story. I did. Write that about you. And
you have to say nothing else. If you don't want to. You can say whatever you want, I don't care.
I mean that's been one of my favorite songs, gosh, since I've written in a long, long time.
You're welcome.
I mean, really, if I go back and look at the past year of songs I've written, a lot of them have been inspired by yours truly.
Like any other ones? that you want to mention?
I mean,
you don't have to.
I have a song called Eyes Off You.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
That I really like a lot. And
you played that on the CMT Women of Country thing.
I did, yeah, on piano.
Yeah, it's good.
That was the first song I wrote by myself in a long time. And then there's another one called Worth the Wait.
That's the one we talked about.
We talked about, yeah.
Anyway, you don't have to go through the whole library of Bobby Sucks songs.
I mean, yeah, there's a long
list. I would call them Bobby Sucks songs. Like,
but it's not Bobby Sucks songs. It was more like Bobby, Why Won't You Date Me songs. He would be like, is this another Bobby Sucks song?
It's Bobby Sucks song.
And I was like, no, this is Bobby, Why Won't You Date Me? I want to date you, and I want to tell you how I feel, but you just won't.
Bobby Sucks songs, what I was calling
won't
them.
Let
yeah.
me in.
Feeling like a teenage crush. You're the rush. You're the habit I can never.
This is the Opry.
Yeah, man. Boy, when I listen to live recordings.
What you do to me is criminal, baby. When I look in those eyes, I feel like blowing through stoplights, looking at the cops.
Sometimes when you say.
I like how you want to talk over it, so I'll stop playing it. Okay, yeah. That's fine. Go ahead.
Sometimes when you say you don't want to listen to certain interviews back because you just want them to live in your head a certain
yeah,
way.
But that's for a different reason. I want them to live in my head because they were perfect in my head.
Okay.
And I know you, and you don't think anything you do is perfect.
True.
And not that I think the interview's perfect, but it came at my heart at that time, it was perfect. And I want to go back and pick it apart. The dog is snoring, by the way.
I know. Yeah, live recordings are such a soft spot for me in my heart because they're just so imperfect. And in the moment in a show, when you're sitting in the audience and listening to something, it's a lot different than sitting in your car or sitting in your living room or in your bedroom listening to a live recording of something. And so, yeah, I'm always nervous about releasing live recordings.
Mike, anything else you want to know? I think.
No, you're good.
I mean, we talked about it.
I wrote a really cool song last night.
She did it, and she wrote it with Caitlin Smith, who's one of my favorites. She's playing the Million Dollar Show with us.
I know.
Yeah. And it was called...
Guess what it's about.
Oh, is it about me?
I'm me.
I heard it, but I don't want to assume that. But it's really good. I'm not going to play it or anything, because she sent it to me on an iPhone. But yeah, it's called, like, to the... I don't have it up. It's called, like, To the Moon or something.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it's called, To the Moon?
Yeah, that's what it's called.
It was late. I was watching election coverage, and Lindsay was writing songs to Caitlin Smith, who, by the way, is fantastic, too.
She's so good. So good.
Yeah, really good. I put her on the Million Dollar Show. She's the new artist. Of all the artists, and we've only announced three of them. Lindsay's in the band. So the Million Dollar Show that's happening January 9th, our band, you have to understand our band is Eddie and I, the Raging Idiots, because it's the Raging Idiots show. On guitar, Lindsay. On fiddle, Natalie Stovall. On guitar, Brandon Ray. On piano, Craig Campbell, and then our drummer, Grady, and our bassist, Ryan, who are fantastic musicians. And then, so far, we've announced Rascal Flatts and Sam Hunt and the band Perry. And I was like, Caitlin Smith is so good, we got to put her on it. But there are some other major artists that are going to show up. And we may announce them, we may not, but it's going to be a crazy show at the Ryman. Last year was crazy, this next time is going to be crazy, too.
Yeah, I'm so excited about it.
So, are we doing Thanksgiving here?
Yeah, we were just talking about that actually earlier today.
We have a bunch of loser friends that don't have anywhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're included in that. And used to, we would just do it as like friends. Like, hey, I don't have anywhere to go. But now that I have a girlfriend, I don't have to do anything. I can just have her do it all, which is amazing. what's the question that you asked me earlier about her?
About her writing the song.
No. Yes.
Oh, about what's the best part of having a girlfriend now?
Oh, that was something
what's
we talked about.
What's the best part? You don't have to worry about Friendsgiving? Thanksgiving?
No, that wasn't my answer. It was a different answer.
That I will hear later.
I'm sure if you listen to it, but then you'll confuse it with Chris Jansen.
And I'll confuse it, yeah, with Chris Jansen and be like, Chris Jansen said that,
yeah,
that the best part about having a girlfriend. Yeah, and I was talking about if there was a way, because you can't have sweet potatoes, so I'm going to try to see if I can make sweet potato casseroles with yams, because you can eat yams, but you can't eat sweet potatoes. So I'm going to try to dream something up.
What's the best part about having a boyfriend?
The fact that I can call you my boyfriend.
That's the best part. My answer was so much deeper and better.
No, the best part about having a boyfriend.
That's what you said. We'll stick with
that. Hey, that was a joke. That doesn't count.
Go ahead.
I get backing music?
Yeah, yeah.
The best part about having a boyfriend is having somebody who can understand you, and can you calm me down? Yeah, in moments that nothing else can calm me down, or just make me see things from a bigger perspective. You give me perspective into my own life that I can't see sometimes.
How do you give me too much credit?
I mean, last night I felt like my life was falling apart. Or no, the night before. Last night I was writing. The night before. And I was just like super confused and stressed. And
I don't know what happened. Oh, are you talking about putting new music out?
Me a bad girlfriend.
And no, I didn't know. I didn't know. Listen.
And then you can't remember the heartfelt conversation that I was like,
I do remember.
So
no. But listen, I try to stay as hands off of Lindsay's stuff as possible with her music, but when she's like, hey, what do you, then it's just a weird, it's an awesome dynamic.
Yeah.
But I remember, because my whole thing was, you have a great team, trust the team.
I know, like, you won't even listen to most songs.
And I just had this conversation with freaking Nada today, who was like, you know what, you just listen to this friend. I was like, no, you know what, let me tell you, I don't even go to Lindsay and hear all her songs.
Yeah, you don't want to hear them.
I don't
want to
hear them. I haven't do this with Lindsay. There's nothing. Anyway, whatever.
I'm more lean on you for reassurance that, like, I'm doing the right thing, or I just need to let it take the time it takes, or I need to trust people in my team around me. And it's more that stuff that I get caught up on.
But my answer is always the same thing, is that I don't know the answer, but nobody does in the creative world. There is no right answer. There's never a right answer in any creative world. Like, you could do something, and it's and this is just period in any sort of career or area. You can go and chase the absolute moon, but if you're going to chase the moon, the possibility of you crashing really hard is there. So you can go get the moon, and when you do, holy crap, you are the freaking astronaut of the year, or you're going to crash and die for this project or this whatever you're doing. And if you're up for that, because that's how I live. That's how I do my job, my life. Like, I go for it all. And when I fail, I'm okay with it because I went for it all. Like, I don't try to go down the middle. I'm not a middle person.
I think that's why you inspire me so much, or you can help me understand myself. And we just understand each other so much because you love what you do so much, and you're so passionate about it, and you love your work, and I love what I do so much, and I'm super passionate about it. And sometimes it's hard to find somebody who is okay with their significant other loving their work that much.
We also can text all the time, Twitter all the time, and nobody gets mad. Yeah, the only time ever, like, there's only been one time, I think, in the history of us ever, whatever, I was like, hey, put your phone down. One time. Do you know when it was?
I don't remember that.
That's very recent.
You said that to me?
Uh-huh. I was like, okay, phone down.
I don't remember that at all.
It was in the middle of the first episode of The Walking Dead, and I was so
upset. Yeah.
I was so upset she wasn't paying attention because it was so intense. And
that's,
I was like,
so true.
I was like, you got to put your phone down. Because this is crazy right now.
The one time in between commercials,
yes,
where he will close his laptop.
That's it.
Close his laptop. And, like, focus. Shut off the rest of the world is The Walking Dead.
We're actually going to a dinner right now with a married couple.
I need to go do my hair.
We don't have time.
I mean, my flat iron's plugged in downstairs.
Oh, go ahead. You can go then.
No.
When do we need to leave?
I mean,
just, you can go. We're
good.
You're good. The show doesn't end when you leave, so you're good.
I want to hear the rest of it.
You can download it later, or listen to it on iHeartRadio. All right, there she is. Lindsay L, everybody. I got to put clothes on, too.
Okay.
All right, goodbye.
Okay.
Why? No, go. go finish here. We have to be there at 6. It's 45 minutes from there, right now.
Yeah.
And they live a long distance away.
That's
traffic. We have traffic, though. Okay. And I'm not late. I can't be late.
You can never be late.
All right. I'll see you in a minute.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Later.
Goodbye. 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 Special appearance. We weren't expecting.
Yeah.
All right, appreciate you guys being here. I think that's a wrap. Any special message you need to get across? Usually we come with some sort of message. I just appreciate everybody listening. This thing's grown and continues to grow. And, you know, sometimes we come on. Well, I went to Lauren Elena's birthday party, which was fun. It was a, she's 22, which is crazy. She's 22 because
I didn't know she was that young.
Yeah, she's been famous. She got an idol when she was 15.
Yeah.
And 16 is the cutoff, but she, her birthday just made it. And so Lauren is awesome. I think Lauren's even coming to do this sometime soon. And Lauren's awesome. And went to her, Lindsay and I went to her 22 birthday party. And so everybody was wearing tutus. Like everybody was wearing tutus at the party. So it was fun. I did that. I had some notes and stuff I was going to talk about. I don't even remember what it was. But all right. Hallelujah. I'll leave you with some Pentatonics. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Her beauty in the moonlight overthrew you.
All right, shout out Lee Thomas Miller for putting me in the article. Shout out Preston. Shout out Lindsay L for popping in here last minute as we were about to go eat dinner with another couple, which we've never done before. It's our first ever double date. Shout out, everybody. I got into an argument with, not an argument, a disagreement with Nada today because one of her friends was like, hey, I want you to listen to some new music. And I was like, Nada, I don't do that. If someone asks me to listen to music, I just don't do it. And then, like Lindsay said, Lindsay doesn't even do that. Yeah. I don't listen to hers because I always got to be like, I either have to go want to go after it, like, let me hear this. And even with Lindsay, I don't, it's just, she never like, take these songs and listen to them and tell me this is just not even with my girlfriend I'm gonna do that. Yeah, that was a whole source of contention. You can do it like everybody else does with close to me, be like, this is literally what people do. Like, so Mary Force is my manager, and then everybody that work, even Rod, they're like, Bobby's crazy, I don't know what he does with music. Like, they don't take it, and they're like, Bobby's crazy, I don't know how he does it. If he does, I don't know how he finds it, I don't know what he does, I don't know how he does it. And I like that, because then they don't come to me and go, hey, here's music.
Yeah.
I went to a meeting yesterday and some guy was like, hey, I got this artist. And I was like, we're in a meeting for something out. Like, this is not about this. I'm begged. Hey, appreciate you guys listening. Thanks for listening to the show. Hope this killed a little bit of time today. How long was this, Mike?
52.
Holy crap. We talked about nothing for 52 minutes. All right. Have a good one. That's it. 20 over.